Good morning. I do want to encourage you to invite someone next week. There's cards in your chair, and if you need some extra, we have a few left out on the Connection Center. Most of them were taken last week, and we just encourage you to invite one person. Just invite one person next Sunday. Today, I want to speak a word to the church. Next Sunday, I'm going to be speaking a word to the church, but I'm also going to be speaking a word to those who have disconnected from the church, those who have been wounded and hurt in many different ways, and be speaking a word that will bring comfort to the lost. So encourage and invite people to church next Sunday morning. I want to put a big amen on what Alex just said. It is a true word. Most of my kids, including these two over here, have served in restaurants and served people. And the church has a terrible reputation when it comes to tipping. So church, Christians, we need to bless people. And we need to bless them beyond what we think they should have done for us. Rochelle and I have blessed people that didn't do a very good job, who would come over and sit at our booth and weep for our kindness and our generosity, and ask, can I talk to you? You may have missed an opportunity if you didn't think you got served on the level you thought you should have got served. You may have missed an opportunity to witness to a broken soul. So don't just let those words pass this morning. Hear them and then go do them. Amen? Brian H. McGill said, there is no love without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without love. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we learned last week, we have got to hear better. We've got to put out the distractions, and we need to listen. Because back in the day of the Church of the Way, they didn't have publishers putting out all the Bibles we have. They had letters that were read. It was very important that they listened. As the Word says, it's by the hearing and the hearing of the Word. And Father, that we have ears to hear today what you are saying to us personally. What is it that we need to learn personally today? So, Holy Spirit, I thank you for arresting our minds so that we'll listen, we'll hear what God is trying to tell us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today and next Sunday, I'm going to be sharing three different times that Jesus spoke from the cross. Today, we will cover two of those. But before we get to what did Jesus say from the cross, let's catch up to where we're at. This is Palm Sunday. Last Sunday, we left off with sharing with you that Jesus, in advance, was telling people that he was going to die and he was going to rise again. Just prior to coming to Jerusalem, as they're making their way, just prior to the entrance into Jerusalem, Jesus shares the third time that he is going to die, but he is going to rise again. Jesus has done this. Now they're going to enter into Jerusalem. Jesus tells some of the disciples, gives them detailed instructions to go get a donkey. I am sure, to their surprise, everything that Jesus said happened exactly the way Jesus said it would happen. Pause. What can we learn from that statement? If Jesus has told you something, you can count on it. Don't doubt it. Believe it. Because you can trust Jesus. And if he's spoken to you, you need to believe it. He will do it. It's our doubt and unbelief that gets in the way. So the disciples find out that Jesus, man, this all went down just like Jesus said. So they bring the donkey to him. Jesus gets on the donkey, he's going in, people are beginning to, we come to today, Palm Sunday, people laying things on the ground, they're putting cloaks, blankets all kinds of stuff. People are cheering. They're celebrating him as the king. But some of those same people will shake their fist at him in a few days because he's not the king they thought was coming. They hadn't fully recognized him. Some had, but not everybody in the crowd had. They're looking for a person to come and raise up an army with shields, spears, and swords to drive out the Romans. So Jesus enters the city. Now, from the moment that Jesus enters the city until he has his last meal with the disciples, a lot takes place. And I'm going to encourage you, Christians, to go study and remind yourself and rehearse what happened from the time Jesus enters into Jerusalem until he is having supper with the disciples. It's very important. It's key information, key things that happened, key events that took place prior to the Lord's Supper. Now, Jesus once again tells some of the disciples to go and prepare for the meal, to go talk to a particular man. I'm sure once again they're thinking, man, he's two for two. All of this went down just like Jesus said. So now Jesus is going to have a meal with the disciples. He shares with them what his blood represents. He shares with them what his body represents. And we're going to take communion next Sunday. And so we will jump into that more then. What I want to bring out in that moment of time that he had with the disciples was what he modeled before them. Once again, he models why he came to earth. He also modeled to the disciples how they were to live their life. No, Jesus modeled in that room how we Christians in 2024 are supposed to live our lives. Jesus washes their feet. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. He modeled for them how they were to live their lives and how we're to live our lives. And we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're going to drill down into that in a little bit. Now, Jesus leaves that room with them, goes to the garden. He has most of them stay in one place, takes a few with him. He goes further, and Jesus begins to intercede. It is in this moment of what I call the first shedding of the blood and the first death. Jesus sweats blood. I've gone into great detail why that has happened in the past. And then Jesus fully, completely, which he has been doing all along, but this is that moment where it's so real, Jesus absolutely dies to himself. And he's going to do the Father's will. So now we have the betrayer comes with a group of men carrying clubs and swords. And he betrays Jesus and they take Jesus away. Now Jesus, from that moment, is brutalized, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, tortured. Even when he gets to Pilate, he is tortured. And Pilate even states this man is innocent, but Pilate lets the people decide whether Jesus will live or die. And the people, and I am sure many who were cheering him into the city, were some of those who were saying, crucify him, because he had let them down. But they had not seen Jesus the Christ yet. And so they take Jesus off to be crucified, carrying his own plank on his shoulders. They take Jesus to the hill. We need to begin to live the moment now. Accounts say that Jesus body was so ripped apart, you couldn't tell if he was a male or a female. Now, I want you to picture that. Oh, I don't want to picture. No, you need to picture that for a moment. And he's been driven to the top of this hill. Then what they call crucifying was when they nailed him to the two pieces to make the cross. Something that gets missed is that when they put the cross into the hole that they had made to put it in, where they would drive wedges in to hold it up, they didn't just slip it in. It was their standard operating procedure to let it fall in and jar the person who was crucified. Our Father, the Christ, suffered in ways we can't imagine. He's already been tortured and torn apart, and then they nail him to this cross, and then they drop him. I am sure, and being a former athlete, and I say former because I don't do a whole lot of stuff to be an athlete other than lift weights anymore. I've had the wind knocked out of me more than once. And the moment I hear that cross hit, I can just, the wind being knocked out of him. And anybody's had the wind knocked out of him, you know the panic that happens the moment after. And Jesus is up before all of the people with, Scripture tells us in some passages, thieves, robbers, criminals, one on each side of him. And what is absolutely amazing to me, in his condition, Jesus speaks. I don't know that I would even have the energy, I would be thinking, just let me die. Much less get anything up and out through my voice. And Jesus speaks. And in Luke chapter 23, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I am immediately taken back to his Last Supper with the disciples. In Matthew 26, documents that he said, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the what? The forgiveness of sins. Jesus says, forgive them. They know not what they do. As his blood is flowing down that cross. We're going to learn something from this moment. But let's continue with Luke chapter 23. And they cast lots to divide his garments. This is the soldiers below. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one, ridiculing him, mocking him. Verse 36, the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine. And saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. What can we learn from this moment? Jesus forgives them for what they have done and what they're going to continue to do against him. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. And I can just hear the heart of Jesus. Father, forgive them. They know not what they have done to me. And they don't really understand what they're about to continue to do to me. But forgive them. Folks, that's powerful. In his condition. Forgive them. Every time that I come across these verses, the Holy Spirit asks me the same question. You might say, well, haven't you learned your lesson? The Holy Spirit has a tendency with me to continue to ask the same questions to make sure that I'm learning the lesson. And when I come across this passage of Scripture, no matter which one that I read, whether it's Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the Holy Spirit always asks me this, Corey, are you forgiving backward and forward? Have you forgiven anything from yesterday that needs to be forgiven? Did you already do that? What about the day before that? What about last week, the week before that, last month, last year? Are you living a life where you are loving well and forgiving even better? Jesus did. We think we're exempt. Well, that was Jesus. No, Jesus is telling us what we're supposed to do. What did he tell Peter? He blew Peter's mind. 7 times, Jesus? He thought that was awesome. No, Jesus said 70 times 7. Might as well said forever. Forward. You know what you're going to face this afternoon. You know what you're going to face tomorrow. You know that person. Oh, come on. Are we forgiving situations, circumstances, and people in advance? Are we not supposed to walk a life of forgiveness? Jesus is modeling for us, and we read that verse and we just run right past it. And we need to pause and live the Scriptures, hear the Scriptures, and ask the Holy Spirit, what can I learn from this moment? We need to learn to forgive backwards and forwards. Let's move on. There's another piece of information that gets passed up a lot that Matthew shares with us that's very important information. And it's in Matthew chapter 27, verse 44. And the robbers, some translations criminals, others thieves, and the robbers who were crucified with him, robbers, underline robbers, this is very important, who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now let's put ourselves there again. You got two criminals, thieves, robbers, whatever you want to call them. Teenagers might call them some really bad dudes, don't want to mess with them. They're hanging on either side of Jesus. They are ridiculing him. They are mocking him. They are laughing at him just like everybody else. Now let's pause for a moment. Who in this room likes to be mocked? Nobody. Who likes to be ridiculed? Nobody. And we absolutely hate to be laughed at, right? Think about in Jesus' condition. They're ridiculing him, they're mocking him, and they're laughing at him. Even the criminals on either side of him. Hatred is raging towards Jesus. It's raging towards him while he's suffering. Jesus is looking down on the soldiers. He's looking down on the crowd where there are many in the crowd who were probably there when he entered into Jerusalem that were cheering him, who are now ridiculing him because he's not the king they thought he was going to be because they've yet to see the Christ yet. And in his agony that he is experiencing, Jesus is focused on others. Come on, others. He's focused on others with unconditional love and a heart of forgiveness. He's focused on others. At the cross, what I call the canvas of the cross, God is painting a picture. He's painting a picture of compassion, a picture of love, a picture of mercy, and a picture of grace on the cross. We have a cross here on the platform we leave up there all the time. And as I've stated with you, when we come in here, when you come in here, it would do you good to just stop, pause, look at that cross for a little bit and remember what Christ did for you. Not on Easter, every day of every year, what Jesus did. And on that cross, God is painting a picture of His compassion, love, mercy, and grace. I read this passage of Scripture where the criminals are also ridiculing, laughing, mocking Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will ask me another question. He will say, Corey, are you focused on others or yourself? Are you only focused on your circumstances and you don't care a thing about other people's circumstances? Your Father, as you call Jesus many times, He was focused on others in His suffering. Are we concerned about others? I think Alex made that clear today. Do we care? Would be a good word to say. Do we care about others? Or are we just focused on my circumstances and my situation? It's easy to do. Come on. It's easy. But one of the best ways to break out of letting the enemy push you down is to push out and touch somebody and speak life into their situation. That's what Jesus was doing. That's what He's going to do. If you're new here today or visiting, I have penned truths in all of my sermons. They are things that I have learned in now 40 years of serving God. Lessons I've learned, revelations I've got, and then many times I'm sharing things with you where the Holy Spirit was getting on to me about stuff. And pin truth here today. Jesus Christ's words of compassion and loving concern for the empty, sin-laden crowd showed God's mercy and gracious nature in action. So it puts to us today, are we walking a life that where our words and our actions are doing the same? Because Jesus didn't go all through this just to go through this and we say, well, you know, He's just different. No, Jesus modeled for us how we are to live our lives. And He died for us so that we could know Him in a very special way. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a life that's exciting. It is. Especially when we're walking in compassion, love, mercy, and grace. Can we, the church, do this? Guess what? God expects us to. Well, not me. I'm different. No. No. Well, I'm different than you are. You speak to people. I hide out. You know, I'm just one of those introverts. Introvert, extrovert, sideways avert, doesn't matter. We're all called to model what Jesus modeled. All of us. We should be doing it. Passage of Scripture I'm about to read is not going to be on the screen because we're going to exercise what we exercised last Sunday. We're going to listen. And we're not going to be doing anything else but listening. We're going to hear the Word of God and hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to us this morning as though we were sitting in one of the rooms when one of Paul's letters shows up and they read the letter. I promise you, when those letters showed up, you could have heard a pin drop wherever they were at when they read them. People were listening. Let's listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, mouthpieces, agents for Christ, entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. We're ambassadors, entrusted to us this message. Going with verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. How do we do that when we don't walk in compassion, love, mercy, and grace? How do we do that when we're consumed in our world, ourselves, and we don't consider and care about others? We can't model that. We can't even be ambassadors to that. We can't be the voice and agents to that if we're consumed only in our world. Jesus was the Son of God and could have called angels down at any moment. He did not. In his suffering, he thought about others. We think, well, that's just Jesus. No, Jesus modeled how we should live our lives. We read through these scriptures so much of the time, and we're just reading through the Easter story and never pausing long enough to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that I can learn from these passages of Scripture, from these moments in history? And what this is all telling us, that Jesus is modeling to us how we, the church, Christians, should live our lives. Now Jesus speaks again. He speaks to one of the criminals. In Mark chapter 15, we read, and with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. This is fulfillment of Isaiah 53:12. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Now, Matthew and Mark both give basically the same accounts of what's happening at the cross. However, Luke gives us some new information of what's happening at the cross. As one of the thieves is continuing to mock Jesus, Luke gives us new information. Now, Luke chapter 23. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God?" Now remember, we read before, they're both what? They're both ridiculing him. They're both mocking him. Come on. Now this one says, "But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus said, and he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now we have to step back, relook at this, unless we want to change the scriptures prior to this moment. This thief, this criminal, this robber had not seen the Christ yet and had no faith in Jesus being the Christ. Now let's live the moment. I wasn't there, but I'm going to live the moment. What am I seeing? I'm watching a criminal who's watching Jesus. Even after what he initially said, he heard Jesus say, "Forgive them." What we miss here is the power of Jesus' words. I believe those words were penetrating this criminal's heart. He's not only watching Jesus, He's looking at this man going, oh, how in the world did he even speak? And he's watching something else. What he's not saying. What he's not doing. His responses. Would we be quiet or would we be screaming our rights from the cross? Come on. Jesus is silent. He's spoken these words. This criminal has heard this. And I believe from that moment, he's watching him. He's next to him. He heard his words. And he begins to see the Christ. He sees Jesus in his horrific state. And the words of Jesus, the non-actions of Jesus to his environment and what's going on begin to penetrate the heart of this criminal. And this is where I want to state. Your words, my words, your actions, and my actions are very important. And in some cases, our non-words and our non-actions at the right time, the right place, what's going on, can draw people to you. And you can share your Jesus stories. Luke 23, I'm going to read it from another translation. And Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus responds with what? Love, mercy, and grace. Jesus responds with hope and restoration. Jesus models for us how we should respond to people with love, mercy, grace, hope, and restoration. We are his ambassadors, his mouthpieces, his agents. And especially in trying moments, we should rise above the moment and speak into it. With love, mercy, and grace, and hope for restoration of the situation. You say, well, it might not bring restoration right away. It didn't bring it right away with the thief either, did it? But it happened. Because our words and our actions are powerful. What types of words are we speaking and how are we acting? It's seeds that change people. Another pen truth, compassion fuels acts of kindness and mercy. Wow, thanks Alex for what you shared because it tags right into this sermon. What another piece of what he's saying is, where's the compassion? Where's the compassion for others? Where's the compassion? I want people to give it to me. I want some compassion. I want this. I want. We miss one of the key scriptures that was read today. Why don't we just sow generously some mercy? Let's show some grace generously. Let's sow some love generously. Come on, sow some love generously. Let's sow some hope generously. Let's sow some restoration generously. And guess what? It will come back to you in ways you never thought possible and change your world. What's the scripture tell us? Give and it'll be what? Given to you. We're always sitting around waiting. And we should be action Christians. We should be going and giving, and the Father will fill our house. We're still waiting around for someone to do something for me. Why not go do something for someone else and watch how all of a sudden that multiplies with people doing stuff for you? How do you know that? Because we experience it. It's important. My final word for today. It is remarkable that during his excruciating, mind-numbing torment of the cross, Jesus focused not on the people's evil words or what they had done to him, but on forgiveness. Alicia Brutfort said, she noted that the shape of true love isn't a diamond, it's a cross. Do our words and our actions represent and present a cross, or does it represent and represent something different? We, the church, we, the Christians, have a Savior who modeled for us how we should live our lives. We read the stories of the cross and we don't stop long enough to say, what's here? What is it I haven't learned yet? And one of the simplest things we haven't learned yet is that Jesus forgave them backwards and forwards. One of the things we haven't still learned yet is that the thief received restoration. After just reviling the Christ. Well, they spoke bad of me, I'll never speak a good thing to them. Come on. Well, Pastor, you were doing okay till you said that. We need to find a way to speak back into their lives. Yeah, but I just wonder, you know, you go up, if we were standing before Jesus, well, how would Jesus react to that? What? Have you not been to the cross lately? We need to love people, all kinds of people. Jesus did. And share our Jesus stories with them. And let's remember how we're supposed to model Christianity for the world. How we're supposed to do it. Is it always easy? Absolutely not. Are there days you're going to get up next day and go, that was not good? How I acted, what I did, what I said. Jesus, help me. I got to go speak back into that thing a whole different way. It's amazing how God will open doors for you to go back and fix those things and give you other chances to be light in a dark world. He's an amazing God. And He loves you. But at the same time, as we shared last week, Scripture is not just for our enjoyment and just to learn certain things, it's also for training, correction, rebuke. It's also to get us on the track of how we should be walking our lives. I had one person tell me a long time ago, you probably heard people say this, so I don't like to read the Word of God because it messes with what I'm planning to do. Let it mess with your life. You'll be better for it. Church, Christians, the word today is to all of us. Go back. This is your challenge. It's a huge challenge. Go back. Read those verses again. Remind yourself of how you should act and how you should speak this next week. Really, every day. Because people out there need to know about our Jesus. They need to know our Jesus stories. But sometimes our words and our actions don't even allow us the opportunity because they're not going to listen. We got to make ourselves presentable. Come on. We do. And it's walking humbly and with humility and walking a life of forgiveness, a life of repentance before God. it makes a huge difference. Father God, I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for constantly, when I don't want you to, those moments where my flesh just doesn't want to hear it, and you continue to ask me those same questions over and over and over again. Corey, are you forgiving backward and forward? Corey, do you care about others or just yourself? Holy Spirit, thank you for constantly reminding me of who I'm supposed to be. And so, Father, we Christians, the church, it's not a facility. We're here before you right now, and I ask. And I ask this with all sincerity in my heart, that you shake us and that we shake off the things that are keeping us from modeling what Jesus modeled. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.